How do all of those celebrities get their bodies in such great shape? Can you lose weight by drinking cold water? And what is the exact number of calories that you personally need to eat? All today on episode 37 of Fat to Fit Radio.
Welcome to Fat to Fit Radio, your source for real weight loss solutions without the hype. And now, here are your hosts, Jeff Ainsley and Russ Turley.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to show number 37. What's going on this week, Jeff?
Well, it's the middle of summer. I'm just having a great time being out in the summertime. You know, I was just looking online, Russ, and up here in Calgary, our average summer temperature, our average high is 23 degrees Celsius. And then I looked down at Long Beach, where you're from, and your average high in December and January is 20 degrees Celsius. So you probably don't even know what I'm talking about enjoying the summer because you are summer all the time.
Yeah, there are 345 days of sun here in Long Beach. And, you know, we've talked about moving other places and boy, it's hard to beat the weather here in Southern California.
Well, no kidding. I'm spending lots of time outside. I'm trying to eat a couple of meals every day outside just to enjoy the weather. From you living in such a nice warm place, you just came back from a cruise.
I did. A friend of ours got married and I mentioned last week that the cruise was to Ensenada. It was a 4-day, 3-night cruise. And we took off on Friday afternoon and steamed all night as we were sleeping to Ensenada. And then spent a beautiful day there in Ensenada. We went on a tour of the Civic Center there, where there was an old casino from the 20s. This was really important for them to tell us, but it was owned by Jack Dempsey. He was an old fighter way back when. And also Al Capone was an owner of this casino in Ensenada. And then we also went to a little winery in Ensenada. There's actually quite a few vineyards and wineries around there. And this area supplies like 90% of the wine to all of Mexico, which is very cool. So I purchased a bottle of wine from this winery. It was very nice. But and there was some shopping involved also in Ensenada. You know? There was some leather sandals were purchased, souvenirs for the kids. But probably the feature that most people are familiar with of these cruises are the foods that you're able to consume. Food is available 24 hours a day, and literally the pizza is available 24 hours a day, and this lovely machine is churning 24 hours a day of frozen yogurt. And I'm a fan of frozen yogurt. I would put one of those in my house, and probably a good idea that I don't, but
Didn't you actually work at a frozen yogurt place, you said?
I did. I worked at Heidi's Frogen Yogurt. And that's not a mistake. Frogen Yogurt, that was the name of it. This is in high school, and I don't know, my first year in college, I worked there as assistant manager. I mean, I got to order the yogurt. It was great. But I really have a love for frozen yogurt. And so instead of actually having dessert or a giant dessert, what they have there at the buffet or at the dinner, you just go and get a little frozen yogurt in a cone. Take it with you as you walk around the ship down to your next activity. It was wonderful. And the food, it just was amazing. As far as a weigh-in for this week.
So with all this food, let's just remind our listeners that last week when we did the show, you were 259 and a half. So after all of this eating, down to 255, right?
Oh, if only, Jeff. This week is 262. I was 2.5 pounds up from last show. So went a little in the negative direction here, but boy, I enjoyed every single bit of it. So, you know, and I'm expecting most of that to come right off because, you know, when you're on vacation, I know this is not really a great fun topic for the podcast, but, you know, your bowels get all screwed up and, you know, it's just not, I would say the word regular. And so, you know, once you get back, your body starts getting back into, getting to your normal eating habits and all of a sudden, boom, that weight, I'm expecting it to come right off. So that was my weight at 262 Tuesday morning after the cruise was over. So, it was a good time, 2.5 pounds worth.
Well, I'm glad to hear you had a good time. And you worked hard for this cruise. You knew months and months ahead of time, and you were working out and eating healthy for months to get into shape for the cruise. So, I mean, you deserved a little bit of a break like this. But, of course, now that you're back, you'll be right back on track, right?
Yeah, you know, I used words like Adonis, which was probably a mistake. You know, I was not the beach body dude out there on the deck, but I was definitely not the largest guy on the cruise either, so by a large margin. But also, it was very interesting. It was very fun. We met a woman. She was part of the wedding, and she was on the cruise for the wedding. And we ate dinner with she and her husband every night. And she has lost 50 pounds. Her name's Karen, and I actually told her about the show. So, hey, Karen, how you doing? And she was going to listen. So it was very cool. But she lost 50 pounds, and she was like 4'11".
Oh, wow.
Amazing. And that's an amazing amount of weight to lose. And she was still looking to lose about 30 pounds. So hopefully Karen gets some good advice from us here on the show.
Well, I guess one other quick announcement before we get into the content. We mentioned on show number 24, now that was 13 episodes, that we were thinking of making the first 24 episodes into a season.
Right. We took those shows, numbers 1 through 24, and we packaged them up as season number 1, and we archived them. So they're no longer available to download in the feed. And actually, if you try to download those shows, you get a little promo right now. It tells you what the show is about and where you can go to purchase those episodes. We decided to take them off because the bandwidth costs are crazy with a podcast. Thousands of people downloading every week. And, you know, the costs go up. The more people listen, the more people download, the more it costs us. So rather than do a charge for the podcast for the current episodes, we always want to keep the current episodes free. And so we took those old shows and took them offline, but they're still available. If you go to fattofitradio.com/season1, those are available to download.
And that's right for all our listeners, because you are a big part of our show. Of course, we said that we'll always keep at least 12 episodes for free. And it's just the new people who want to catch up. They're the only people who haven't really been along the journey with us. That's how we'll kind of make up for some of our bandwidth costs. All right, well, let's move on to our email and comment section.
All right, and our first one is from an anonymous listener. And she wrote, "Dear Jeff and Russ, recently I heard on another podcast that drinking cold water interferes with, slows down, your metabolic processes. I also heard that cold drinks actually warm you up because your stomach warms to compensate for the temperature of the water. I've also heard the only way cold food or beverages could hurt you is if you're already suffering from exposure, as I don't eat snow to survive being caught in a blizzard or lost on a mountaintop. Is there any truth to any of this, or are these just urban legends? If simply drinking and eating things at room temperature could boost your metabolism naturally with no side effects, that could be a breakthrough we're all looking for."
There's quite a lot of different questions in that email, but they all really come around to cold water. Now, there's a website that I use quite often. It's called Snopes.com, S-N-O-P-E-S. And this site here collects all of these email letters that come around that warn you about certain things, and it's all about urban legends and all these different myths. And you can search and see if these things that you hear about are true or false. So I'm going to talk about the cold water myths. And most of the things that you're talking about in your email are actual myths. So some of the ones that I found, they were things like water cools your body and slows your metabolism, which you said. Another one is that water solidifies oily matter in your stomach and slows your metabolism. And there's other ones that talk about when the cold water solidifies the oily matter in your stomach, it then turns into cancer. And there's a whole bunch of different ones that are similar to it. So I can answer all of these myths just by using some common sense and some science. And the first concept I want to talk about is the homeostasis concept. You see, your body always wants to be at 37 degrees Celsius or 98.6 degrees Fahrenheit. And when you drink cold water, it's true that your body is going to heat it up so that it's eventually, you know, body temperature. But the other way is also true. If you eat a lot of hot food, your body can start to sweat because your body is trying to cool it off. So eventually, if you drink cold water, you eat hot foods or hot beverages, your body is eventually going to make that the same temperature of your body. So technically, eating anything that's cold or hot will speed up your metabolism slightly. So the truth is actually opposite of those myths. Now, the most common question about diet and cold water that I've heard is the belief that drinking ice water will burn more calories because your body needs to raise the temperature up to body temperature. And there is some actual science to it. And I'll put a link in the show notes that gives you the science of exactly how many calories you do burn by drinking cold water. So I'll quickly go over the science. Now, if you're drinking water that is, you know, 0 degrees Celsius or just right at the freezing point, and you drink 16 ounces of that, your body temperature is 37 degrees Celsius. It takes one calorie to raise 1 gram of water 1 degree Celsius. There's 473 grams and 16 fluid ounces of water. So if you do all the crazy math, you're going to burn 17 and a half calories to raise 16 ounces of ice water up to body temperature. So technically, yes, you're going to actually burn some more calories by drinking ice water. Is it going to make enough of a difference for you to lose weight? Probably not. And another thing, most people drink right after they've worked out, so your body temperature is a little higher. So when you drink the cold water, it actually cools your body a little bit and you don't really get the full benefit of raising that temperature up. But it is an interesting question, and there's lots of different myths about drinking water. But the bottom line is, you might drink water and it might burn a couple extra calories, not enough to make a huge difference in your life. But if that gets you drinking a little bit more water throughout your day, which is good for you, of course, there's nothing wrong with it, and I would suggest it. Let's move on to item number two, which is from Danelle. And she writes, I love the show. How do you calculate how many calories you should be eating? I was listening to episode 36, and you said to start eating the amount of calories that you will be eating when you reach your goal weight. How do I do that?
Well, Jeff, you covered this in a great post, and we'll link to that over in the show notes. So we'll take a look at that. But in general, our philosophy here from show number one has been that diets don't work. You need to take responsibility for what you eat and not dumb down something as important as the fuel you're putting in your body. And you don't need to count points or deal cards to yourself to get a meal. It's simple math. Some listeners have voiced their opinion that they can't count calories. It's too difficult. We're going to tell you that it's important to know how many calories your body needs to sustain itself. And when wanting to lose weight in the form of fat, how many calories you should consume to lose that fat. And so Jeff did a post, and I've kind of redone the numbers here for myself. So I'm going to use myself as an example. So let's look at how you get the numbers, the total number of calories that you should be eating in a day to lose weight. So the first number you need to know is your BMR, your basal metabolic rate. Now, check the link in the show notes there's a calculator that will calculate your BMR for you. And, you know, there's a whole formula, but it's not necessary. There are plenty of these BMR calculators online. So get the show notes and click on that link. The next thing you're going to do is you're going to multiply it by 1.375 because you are an active person. And that's going to get you your total number of calories if you want to sustain your weight at where you are right now, then for the rest of your life. If you'd like to lose weight and not ever feel hungry, you put in that BMR calculator the weight you would like to be. And then you multiply by that same multiplier, that 1.375, because you are going to be active. And you're going to get the number of calories that you should be eating on a daily basis. And eventually, by eating that number of calories, you're going to be getting to that weight eventually. It's not going to be a fast weight loss. It's not going to be losing 50 pounds in 5 weeks. It's going to be a slow process, but you are going to get to that goal weight eventually. So I did the numbers, and I'm just going to run through them real quick. My BMR here at 260 is 2,377 calories. With my multiplier, it's 3,268 calories, a bunch of food. I want to lose 40 pounds, so I put in my BMR for a 220-pound person. With my multiplier, I get to eat 2,926 calories, a deficit of 342 calories. During 1 week, I should lose a little under 7/10 of a pound, 0.684 pounds per week on this plan. And well, for the most part, that's pretty close to what I've been losing. So I think this really boils it down to really simple weight loss and without feeling hungry ever.
That's right. And we'll have a link to, like Russ said, an earlier post where we talked all about it. And in that post, we talked about a 5'5" woman who's 30 years old and who exercises lightly. If she wants to go down from 175 pounds down to 125 pounds, that's a 50-pound weight loss. There's only a 300 calorie per day difference to get there. So at 175 pounds, they'd eat around 2,200 calories. At 125 pounds, to maintain that weight for the rest of your life, you'd have to eat 1,900 calories. So we're just saying, eat the calories of what your goal weight would be. So if you ate 1,900 calories a day, you would become that 125-pound woman eventually, and you'd never have to diet.
Yeah, once you run the numbers and you're comfortable with, okay, I have to count calories. I have to know what I'm eating. And we talked about that last show about food diaries and what you're eating, what you should be eating, and just counting all those calories. It needs to be done.
That's right. You don't have to count calories and do a food diary for the rest of your life. But once you figure out the amount of food that you have to eat at your goal weight, and if you want to stay there for the rest of your life, it takes some time to get to know the amount of food that you can eat and the quality of food and how much of each you can eat to maintain that average amount of calories for the rest of your life. So the sad thing is there's no quick and easy solution to do it. You have to become a little bit more educated. And, you know, that's the only real way that you're going to stay down at that goal weight.
All right. I want to thank everybody for their emails this week and their comments. And there are a couple ways that you can get a hold of us and send us your feedback and your questions and comments. And the first one is to leave a comment on the website at fattofitradio.com.
Or you can send us an email to podcast@fattofitradio.com.
Third way is to leave a voicemail by clicking on the Call Me button over on the website, fattofitradio.com.
And the last way is to join our support group at fattofitsupport.com.
Okay, and now we're going to tackle a couple of news items on this week's web report. Jeff, you're up.
All right, this week I have two different articles, and these articles are from the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control in the United States. And the first one is relating to the obesity rates in the United States, and the second one is relating to diabetes rates, which of course are related. The first one that's talking about the levels of obesity in the United States. The thing that jumped out to me the biggest about this whole survey is at first I looked and it said 30% of adults in Mississippi, Alabama, and Tennessee are obese. And I go, oh my God, I thought the numbers were 65 or 70%. And then I looked that they have raised the bar for what it means to be overweight. You see, the surveys last year and the year before, they're all talking about the levels of people who are overweight, who have a BMI greater than 25. This year, they're talking about people who are clinically obese, which is a BMI of 30 or higher. So that's quite a difference when they have made changes like that. So just saying that 30% of adults in Mississippi are obese, maybe that's 80% of people are overweight. They're not going to tell us those numbers anymore. So does that surprise you, Russ?
You know, yes and no. You would think that a group like this Centers for Disease Control, I mean, they're number one, that they're talking about obesity now. It's a disease. They're categorizing it as that. And that they're completely lopping off the overweight. I think you're right, that overweight and obese, that's always been the number. The number of overweight and obese is 60%. I think that's probably still going to be true. And I think in a lot of these most obese states, it's probably going to be closer to that 80%.
Here are the top 10 obese states, starting with the most obese: Mississippi, Alabama, Tennessee, Louisiana. Are you seeing a pattern here, Russ?
Yeah, next is going to be California, right?
No, then it's West Virginia, Arkansas, South Carolina, Georgia, Oklahoma, Texas. They all seem to be all the southern states.
I think you named most of the Confederate states there, if not all of them. That's really not surprising. If you spend any time in those states, I think you'll find a lot of just fat foods, and I think the people are now mirroring the foods that they're eating.
Do you know what the least obese state in the United States is?
I'm going to guess Colorado.
You got it.
I got
Colorado,
it.
19% fit into the category of obese.
Again, still, they're not including that overweight category. I'm thinking it might be closer to 40% overweight and obese, if I remember my numbers from a previous survey that actually included those numbers.
Yeah, that's really kind of a false improvement when people see these numbers and they say, oh, it's not that bad, when the numbers are only like that. But anyways, overall, the United States is now 26% obese throughout the average of the United States, which is still pretty high.
So how about the diabetes rate?
The number of Americans with diabetes is now 8% of the population, which is about 24 million people. And this is really not surprising, especially from the last show when I was talking about how people can get type 2 diabetes, you know, just from overeating, you know, continually and wearing out their insulin receptors and then wearing out their body's ability to produce insulin. And then whammo, you've got diabetes because of overeating, high blood pressure, etc. The disturbing thing about this study is that the older you are, you have the higher chance of getting diabetes now. And almost 25% of the population, 60 years or older, now has diabetes in 2007. So the numbers are not encouraging when you looked at the obesity rates increasing, and that is, no surprise, leading to higher and higher rates of diabetes.
Well, the title of this article, it's over at medguru.com. It's called "More Exercise is the Key to Sustain Weight Loss." And this was a study at the University of Pittsburgh between 1999 and 2003. And they had 200 obese and overweight women enroll in this program and had them follow a diet ranging between 1,200 and 1,500 calories, and also had them assigned one of four exercise groups. First two groups, they were required to burn 1,000 calories a week through exercise. The other two groups were supposed to burn the equivalent of 2,000 calories a week, first doing it through exercise moderately, and then the second group used vigorous exercise. They mention here that 30 minutes a day, 5 days a week of brisk walking should burn you about 1,000 calories. So after 6 months, nearly all the 200 women in this group lost an average of 8 to 10% of their body weight. However, though, at the end of the second year, the women had regained on average about half of that weight loss. So they apparently didn't keep up with this exercise regimen or the 1,200 to 1,500 calorie a day diet. And it says here also, interestingly, the 26.5% of the women maintained a weight loss of 10% or more of their body weight at the end of the second year. And when they looked at those women, they exercised an average of 275 minutes a week, burning the equivalent of 1,835 calories. So just from the study here, the key difference to those women who kept off the weight and lost 10% or more of their body weight, the difference is exercise. And, you know, we've talked about that many times and ad nauseum sometimes, that you have to exercise. It's not about going on that really low calorie restrictive diet. It's about the calorie deficit. It's about eating the right amount of calories and also exercising to create that calorie deficit that will take off the fat. And so just this study just really proves that that point.
Yeah, I thought it was a really good study. I actually found the same study from a Time.com article. And, you know, the overall thing that I got was the people who are exercising were the long-term successful people. And one of the reasons, I think, is because when people are exercising regularly, to fall off the bandwagon and stop eating healthy, it's a little bit farther to fall off. Because when people are working out on a daily basis or, you know, every second day, you might not eat that chocolate bar because you're thinking, well, I just went to the gym and all of that is going to be for nothing if I have that chocolate bar. So I guess if you're putting in that effort physically, it might be a little bit easier to keep that effort up from what you're eating.
Right on.
All right, well, let's move on to our feature section. And this week, we're going to talk about some celebrity diets.
Yeah, so you might think, why are Russ and Jeff talking about celebrity diets? And I have to admit, I was in the grocery store and was taken aback by the photographs and headlines on this Us Weekly magazine. It was "How I Got My Body Back 40 Pounds in 4 Months, The Diet That Worked." And then it gave a bunch of information here on the cover, and it says, you know, best diets, hottest bodies. I thought, okay, you got me. I'm going to check this out. I'm thinking this is going to be a bunch of junk, and I can't wait to point it out on the show. And meanwhile, I started reading these articles, and I started seeing a surprising thread through them that a lot of these celebrities are really taking, you know, staying in shape, and in particular, weight loss and getting back in shape very seriously, and they're doing it, I would consider, correctly. So we're going to take a look at a couple of these articles, and the first one is about the Good Morning America host, Kelly Ripa.
These are people that you look at them and you don't think, oh, they never need to lose weight. But these are people that are living the healthy lifestyle. They're eating at their maintenance calories for the weight they want to be at, and they're working out hard. They're building muscle, and they're looking great. And Kelly Ripa, if you've noticed her lately, she's got some real pipes on her. I know that right now she's doing a laundry detergent commercial, and it can't be that great of a commercial because I can't remember what it is. But there's a part where she's holding this laundry detergent and she's got these massive biceps. I mean, she's really thin. She is just totally ripped. Have you seen that, Russ?
You know, I have not seen that. I'll have to Google that later. But, you know, I was really taken aback by the photograph. There's a picture of her in 1993 and she's looking quite puffy and not really what I, you know, she's actually still pretty thin, but puffy, I would say, was the right term. And then a picture of her now in a little bikini here. And wow. That's all I really can say is wow.
Well, it's really a lot of hard work. I'll just read from the article here. Knowing that every 6 months you may be photographed in a bikini will motivate you, admits the 108-pound, 5'4" talk show host, 37. I rarely take a day off, which is why after having 3 kids, she still has a 24-inch waist.
Also talks about her diet here. I believe in moderation, says the non-calorie counter, who fills up on fish, fruit, nuts, and yogurt, but permits weekly splurges like her mother-in-law's lasagna. And she also says, here on a little note, says, I'll have an apple or carrot sticks in my purse so I'm not reaching for potato chips. So she's thinking ahead and knowing that, you know what, you're going to have cravings and you need to eat that good snack instead of the bad one.
That's right. And being a celebrity, your job is to look good. I mean, Hollywood is very fickle. If you're not looking great, you might not have a job next week, or you might not get that next role. And just moving on here, Kelly Ripa says that she exercises 2 hours a day. And let's see, in addition to 3 to 5 mile runs 5 days a week, she's hooked on Physique 57, a ballet class offered at their New York City studio. So obviously she's putting in the gym time. It's, you know, the whole package. It's the working out, it's the food, it's having the snacks handy. That's what you really need to lose weight. But if you want to have a body like that, it's not just a short diet. That is a true lifestyle that you need to follow. All right, now moving on, here's another celebrity, Elizabeth Mitchell, who is on Lost. And you know who she plays, Russ?
Yeah, she plays one of the others, Dr. Juliette Burke. She's one of my favorite characters.
Now, the headline with her, it says she lost 78 pounds.
All right, it says here that she is 38 years old, and she had gained 75 pounds when she was pregnant with her son.
Now, being on Lost, now this was in the off season, she was in a panic to get down to the shape that she was in for the next season, and she wanted to get into this hardcore shape. So she started with regular walks, which changed to runs. So then after 3 months of regular running up to 8 miles, plus 200-yard lunge-a-thons, yoga, etc., she got down from an 8 to a size 4. Now, if you start to see a pattern here, these celebrities that need to lose weight and look great, they're doing tons of exercise. They're not starving themselves.
Right, but you know, she did say here that she stopped eating bread. She's not going to go on any crazy diets, but she said that bread is bloating, which is very interesting.
Well, maybe that bread is one of her bad foods that she just eats a lot of and really likes. I mean, carbs are necessary, cutting up bread, you know, but if you get carbs in a lot of other places, you know, that might be good.
Yep, and also says here that she did a lot of jogging on the beach, and she says it's fantastic for your legs. And she also does sit-ups and squats to finish up her workout routine. So the next celebrity here on the in the Us Weekly was Kate Hudson. And I don't think I've ever seen Kate Hudson looking out of shape, but there's a good reason. And she has a personal trainer that they're talking about here in the article, and she's got Kate Hudson on a great diet and a great workout plan.
And it goes into a little bit more detail of what she's eating. And she ranges between 1,400 and 2,000 calories a day is her regular maintenance level. And let's see, for breakfast, she's having, on average, a half cup of oatmeal with 1 tablespoon of natural sweetener and a protein shake, which has some whey protein, some unsweetened vanilla almond breeze milk, a half cup mixed berries, a half banana, and 1 cup of ice. Then when she talks about her snacks, she'll have a small handful of almonds. For lunch, 1 cup of steamed brown rice, 6 ounces of black cod, 2 cups of steamed vegetables. For a snack, she'll have another protein shake. And for dinner, maybe a 1/4 cup of quinoa, 6 ounce organic chicken, 2 cups of steamed kale with garlic. Now, this is a 5-meal-a-day menu that she's eating.
Yep, and she's also training 5 to 6 days a week for an hour, and this is a sample workout here for her. 15 minutes of boxing with agility drills, such as marching kicks and explosive jumps across 20 yards. 20 minutes of body weight exercises mixed with spurts of cardio. Also, 10 to 15 minutes of treadmill intervals, like 90 seconds at 15% incline at 6 miles per hour, then 60 seconds at 3.7 miles per hour, then no incline at 8 miles per hour. So doing those intervals that we've talked about on previous shows. And then finally here, abs, 8 to 10 reps of different moves. So she's really working out hard every single day.
And I guess the one thing that I notice about her eating and her working out, when she's talking about what she's eating, she's not just saying that she's going to have some cereal and then she'll have some almonds and then she'll have some rice. She is talking about a half banana. She's talking about 6 ounces of cod or 6 ounces of chicken. Notice that she is precise. She knows what she's eating. She knows the sizes. And when she's talking about her workout plan, she's not talking about going to the gym and doing 25 minutes on an elliptical. She's doing like interval training she was talking about. She has the weight training things. She has the cardio. She has all of the things built in. It's not just, I go to the gym and I do this and I kind of eat under 1,400 calories. It's nothing like that. It's very precise. Well, let's move on to Monica Seles, and people probably know her from tennis.
Yeah, so Monica Seles, she was the number one tennis player in the world in 1993. But, you know, you probably remember this. She was stabbed by what was they called a fan at one of the tournaments. And so after that, she kind of had emotional problems and packed on 20 pounds, and she was up to a size 14. But 2 years ago, it says here, after years of yo-yo dieting, she started eating in moderation.
That's right, and she shed 33 pounds to be a slimmer than ever, size 6. Now, the most important thing about Monica Seles here is this quote, in my opinion. And she said, "Gaining control of my eating has been my biggest win. It's bigger than any tournament. It's my life and my health." Now, if you kind of think about that, if you really start taking control of your life and your health, that is the most important thing. I mean, through exercise and dieting, you not only lose some weight and feel better, but you live longer. That is the most important thing in your life. You know, that is happiness. I mean, you can't be happy if you're not here because you leave this earth early because of, your body kind of giving out.
Yep. So she just talks in general here about what she eats, and it's 60% of protein, 20% of fats, and 20% carbs. So she is definitely not eating on the old FDA recommended pyramid. And then it also says here about her workouts, and I'll just give a little information here. Twice a week, she does 20 minutes on the elliptical and 30 minutes of weights, and then takes a 10-minute walk. She says, "I make sure to walk everywhere." She says, "It adds up." And that's so true. Every little bit, and we talked about those little calorie burners, those stealth calorie burners, and every little one counts in that when you're trying to lose that weight.
And the last celebrity we're going to talk about is Pamela Anderson. And she has always had a lean, healthy body, you know, ever since Baywatch, you know, 20 years ago. And we're really going to talk about what she's been eating.
Right now, Pamela Anderson is, among other things, a vegan. She is totally into animal rights. And so she does not eat meat of any kind. So what she does eat on a regular basis are fruits and vegetables, nuts, beans, whole grains, seeds, and soy-based products like veggie burgers and the like. So she's really eating a very healthy diet. Even though she's not eating meat, she's getting that all-important protein through those soy-based products.
That's right. And one thing she does not get, she doesn't get the high fructose corn syrup. She's not getting the trans fats. Everything that she's eating is good, wholesome, real food. She's not doing all of this processed food that the majority of people end up eating in this society today. So that is another option for people to try. Eating more healthy, eating more natural is always going to be better. And that reminds me of a show we did way back, maybe show 5 or 6, where we talked about the 5 tiers of food. And the first 2 tiers were where we had all of the whole natural foods. And we said you would have this perfect diet if you only ate from those first 2 tiers. Well, that is really what vegans eat all the time. So that might be a way to eat a little healthier. Who knows? You know, if you want to give up meat, you know, all the power to you.
So I think here in, to sum up, I was really surprised by the great diets and great exercise habits that these celebrities have in order to keep them, you know, in that, you know, Hollywood shape. When they, every time they go up on that screen or they're photographed from whatever angle it is, they always look great. And it's not by accident. And despite the sensational headlines on these magazines, you know, when you look into the meat of it, not saying this is going to be on every magazine, but in this particular one, the meat of the magazine, this article, really talked about how the right diet and exercise is what these celebrities are doing to keep their great shapes.
That's right. I mean, following the celebrities or just any role model really can't hurt, as long as they are having the body that you want and they are eating properly and exercising. I mean, look at the people comparing James Dean to Brad Pitt and Will Smith. Their bodies, even for men, have changed considerably in the last couple decades. Now they expect the men to go to the gym. They want to see the muscle. They want to see the toned bodies, whereas before they were just kind of slender guys. But that's maybe for another show to talk about the differences in guys. Now let's move on to the recipe of the week.
Our recipe this week is from listener Heather, and she wrote in with recipe for chicken marabella. And she was introduced to this recipe by her mother, and it's on the lower fat side with a ton of flavor, although it does have a little bit of brown sugar in it, so it could be high in the sugar content, so watch that. But the secret ingredient, she said, is the prunes. So it's also great for your fiber intake. But she thinks it's great any time of the year, but great for summer as you can make it ahead and it tastes better after the second day or so while it marinates in its juices. So check that out. It'll be a recipe over to cooks.com where you can make your own chicken marabella.
And don't forget, if you guys have any great recipes for us, just send them along and we will pass them on in a future show.
Definitely. So, Jeff, what kind of homework do we have this week?
Well, right now it's summertime, you know, for most of our listeners in the Northern Hemisphere anyways. So I'm suggesting that you should really take advantage of all of the seasonal fruit. And the homework is really eat more fruit while they are in season. And I've been taking advantage of the farmers markets right now. And the fruit from a farmer's market is so much better than what you can get at the average grocery store. But just remember, and this is important, not all fruit is created equal for fat loss. We talked about negative calorie foods quite a few shows ago, and some fruit can be considered as negative calorie foods. That means that it takes almost as much energy to digest them as you get out of eating it. So here's a short list of what you can freely enjoy, and don't worry too much about the calories this summer. Apples, cranberries, grapefruit, lemons, mangoes, oranges, pineapple, raspberries, strawberries, and tangerines. Now we're talking about the whole fruit here, not the fruit juices, but these here, while they're in season, enjoy them.
All right, excellent. And so what is our quote for this week?
Well, the quote comes from Elmer Letterman, and it is, "A man may fall many times, but he won't be a failure until he says someone pushed him."
Very nice. Well, I think there's a lot of good information in this week's show, so thank you very much, Jeff. And for those of you looking for the show notes, they're found, again, over at fat2fitradio.com. And we'll talk to you all next time. Bye-bye.
Send your feedback or questions to podcast@fat2fitradio.com. For more information on today's show or any previous shows, visit the website at fat2fitradio.com. If you would like to support the show, leave us a review on iTunes or your favorite podcast directory.
done like dinner.
Boy, you look like you need a good steak.